Pesach prayers, 5, 7, 6, 9 update. I wish, Rabbis, I would have a whole list of scandalous goings on in the kashrus world, surprises, things which everybody assumed till now was kosher and really it's treif, and I'll get up and tell you all about it and make everyone's stomach turn inside out and scare everyone. I don't believe in scaring people. The kolkoiris that shock people is something that I try my utmost to avoid by correcting the problem rather than by making everybody aware of it. Baruch Hashem, the Rabbonim Machshirim are doing a wonderful job, and they're working and serving Klal Yisrael with their tremendous, tremendous avoida, being oimed al mishmor, and they're the shluche, the achmona, and shluche didan, and the products that are being served by reputable hashkochas are wonderful. Does somebody want to be dafke, be adventurous and go discover some new and exotic food which he never dreamed of eating just because it's Pesach? No. If you really want to be so adventurous, so wait another week. Take during Pesach is take old tried foods. Everybody has a house filled with them, and there's enough to be manna from. You know, a couple of hundred years ago there was a machloikis, not between Yisrael and the Umas Oilam, but a machloikis because a new minig broke out, and the minig was not to eat kibrokt, which means that if water got on matzah, so there would be choshesh that there was some unbaked dough in the matzah, and that dough might turn into chametz. And because of that, one of the favorite Pesach macholim couldn't be eaten, and that was knedlach, because it involves dumping the dumpling into boiling water, and it would be gebrokt. And the Chacham Tzvi and many Achroinim screamed out and said, it's poshet inui to take one of the few Pesach tanugim and say that we won't eat it anymore, and it will deprive us of the ability to be sameach with Simchas Yontif, which is a mitzvah deraisa. Rabbosai, this issue about Simchas Yontif is Baruch Hashem no longer something we're concerned of, because it would be awfully hard if you spent every day of Pesach eating a kizayis from each tainug that's produced for us from morning till night. You'd still not be able to go through half the items in the grocery store. What does not require Bedikas Chometz? Let me comment briefly on that, Rabbosai. What does not require Bedikas Chometz? The Mishnah starts out in Psochem Tav Beis Omed Aleph. You know that. Kol Mokem Shemachnisen Bei Chometz Tzorech Bedika. Actually, it says Kol Mokem She'ein Machnisen Bei Chometz Ein Tzorech Bedika. It's a place where there's, you don't bring in Chometz, you don't have to be voided. But there's a caveat to that. Any time that there's a house where little kinderlich can I know her run around the house, and in 5 minutes they'll grab a cookie or something, and it'll be all over the house from one end to the other. I remember 2 days before Pesach, maybe one day, I don't remember, many, many years ago, there was a box of those little tiny elbows. You know, the elbows come in various sizes. There's bigger ones and medium ones and the smallest size. Well, a box of those elbows have maybe a few thousand. And my kids, they have kids who are older than they were at that time. They grabbed that box and sprayed it all over the house from top to bottom. So all the hachonas didn't do us any good. So the kaschomets la'oir haner took me to about 3 o'clock in the morning. And wherever I went, I discovered a little elbow. When you work very hard, our boys say in America, they call that elbow grease. And I went through the house, covered every square inch or quarter inch, and picked out every last elbow. We never found another one anywhere in the house after that. It was a real thorough cleaning. When I came to the last spot in the house, it was behind the staircase, and there was a little patch of earth which was really outside the house, in the exit in the back. And it was clean, but that was the last spot I was biting. And I searched through that spot, and ready to turn around and say, Kol Hamira, when I noticed something, I had a little glimpse of some shining thing, and I bent down and I picked up from the floor, from inside the earth practically, a subway token. Subway tokens at that time cost 50 cents. They were made of brass and minted by the city of New York. And I remember the Chazal, the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara said, Hai man de sayer nichse mashka chistire. A person who searches through his nechosim will find an estira. And an estira, Gemara says, is palga de zuza, a half a zuza. The Rambam says it's made from ordinary metal, not gold and silver, from base metal, and it's minted by the city, Sewa Medina, as opposed to Sewa Tzoyri, which is the official legal currency. So I treasured that subway token because it was to me a siman min hashamayim that I was really sayer nichse. I searched through all my nechosim and I did a perfect job. But b'derech klal, Rabbi say, there are plenty mekoymes which are ein machnisim by chometz. Still in all, you got to be careful. Is it a place where the children play around and leave chometz, especially in the pockets of the children's clothing, underneath the seats of the car where they sit in the back, right, and take apart a box of cookies and everything and stick it in all possible places? So you should, you know, go to these auto wash or other kinds of places where there's a service, where there's vacuum cleaning done, and you could do it yourself or have someone do it for you, and make sure that every last drop of chometz is taken out. But do look carefully with an oir haner to make sure that it's all clean. And if the house is clean beforehand, then it'll be easier. But look in all the places that are mekoymes shemachnisim by chometz. Right? You have a couple with the children are grown up or married, and the room is closed to the 8 o'clock, so then maybe a number of rooms won't be makom shemachnisim by chometz. You're really not mechuyev. And I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, there's a nafkemina. Listen to me. If somebody is going on a vacation and he doesn't have the koiches to clean up the house and be boidik chometz, and he sells the apartment, and he's not mechuyev in bedika, but he wants to be yoitza with the mitzvah bedika, the Rambam says that if you're going on shayora, travel with a caravan in the desert, and that's where you'll be in the middle of Pesach, somewhere near Har Sinai, and you'll have nothing to be boidik chometz, you didn't take any chometz with you, and no one in the caravan took chometz with them, so you have no place where you could be boidik, then you'll be mevatel the mitzvah v'dikas chometz, even though you don't own the house. So there's a chiyuv mitzad takonis chachomim l'chol apochus mitzad aminik, to be boidik. So what do people do when they sell their houses? They leave over one room and they say, this room is not being sold, I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah because chomis is not one room, right? Who didn't do that or hear about it? Everybody knows about these things. But rabbosai, if the room you leave over is a mokim she'en machnisen by chomis, then you didn't accomplish anything, right? Because there's no chiyuv adikin, you weren't mekayim any mitzvah. Okay, so you got to leave over a room that's a mokim she'machnisen by chomis, so you could search it lior hamer, and you know, go through it and search it very, very carefully. I'd like to add something that will upset maybe a number of people. I thought I don't like to upset people, but yes, people who are not well, or people who are overburdened, maybe there was just a birth in the family and who knows what, or they're old and they don't have the koiches to be boidik, chometz, and to clean, and they just look to the moment when they could pick up all their worldly effects and go off to some hotel and stretch out and relax and have anything but fond memories of the work that former years they put into cleaning up the house for Pesach. Rabbi Sai, let it be only for people, like I said, old and sick, and people who are beset by some type of difficulty or emergency and can't really clean the house. But otherwise, make bedikas chometz the way Chazal wanted us to. That's the ikur, not to sell, to make bedikas chometz, so that you should look through your home. And you know, when you boidik chometz, you might discover things that could go into the fire in addition to the chometz, right? If it's improper publications or items that don't belong in a Jewish home. So Chazal called the Yetzahor the Sa'or Sheb Isa. So take the Sa'or Sheb Isa and destroy it and be boidik and burn it along with the chometz. Okay? It's an important thing. Even whether you're going to the hotel or not going, there are many reasons to go to a hotel or going to a relative or going here or going there. And when a young couple goes to their parents or in-laws, they're young, energetic, let them be boidik chometz in the house they live in. And if there's older children, they could join in the bedikah. Right? That's the way the Mechava describes it in Shulchan Aruch. You could give everyone a candle, or if you want a flashlight, and I'm not going to go into that shiloh, I'm sure it was discussed a thousand times in the past. But do what you can without endangering the house. And go and be boidik chometz. If you can't, you can't. I'm not talking about that, but it's not one of the luxuries. Everybody should be boidik and be mevatel the chometz. When a person, his house has a house filled with chometz, and it's all sold, he's not boidik, and he's not mevatel. What chometz are you mevatel if you have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of chometz? You mevatel it. Elamai, you sell the entire house, so you don't have a house. So how are you mekayim the mitzvahs, b'deraisa, b'derabbanan? Okay? Do it with a tremendous yigiyah. And these are mitzvahs, and I'll tell you something, whether they're mitzvahs shahazman gram or natzman gram, but the women really put in all the koyach into the mitzvah. The men could just help along too, take a broom once in a while, you know, with the story with the stifler. Yungamana was a big masmid, came to the stifler and he said it's his wife is cleaning the house the whole Friday and it's very disturbing to his learning. What should he do? So he said, take a broom. So if you have to sell the house, selling the house, Rabbi Say, is not a very simple thing. When you sell chometz, you know, you ask a question, selling Eretz Yisrael for Shemitah, come on, You're not supposed to do that, right? But when you sell chometz, you are supposed to do that. What makes us decide whether you're supposed to sell or not supposed to sell? To sell or not to sell, right? That's the question. There are a lot of halachas that involve selling this and selling that. Okay? What about keeping a store open for Shabbos and selling it to a goy? No? There's all kinds of very touchy questions about selling things. The selling chometz, Rabbi said, the rationale for that is because you really sell it. The entire Pesach, you close up, you don't touch, you don't come near that chometz. You're Mesir Das from it. But when you sell Eretz Yisrael for Shemitah, you spend the whole year farming and marketing the stuff and working with it as if it's your own, because it is your own, because you never meant to sell it in the first place. But when you sell chometz, you remove it mentally and emotionally from your rishus. It's not yours. It's bottled taka afanamis, and there is a real bittul. But what happens when you sell a house? Do you really mean to sell the house? How is that? Think about it. And another thing, Rabbi say, when you sell the goy, the chometz, that sale is legal, actual, real. When you sell a house, huh? What do you have to do to sell a house? You know that. You have to have a transfer tax and registered with the government and all kinds of different things. The house is not sold. Elamai, legabe this and legabe that. Okay, I'll leave you with the trutzim and with the hezber. But it's a totally different activity. You know when you use those kind of things? When you're old and sick. Or when you don't have the koyach for some other kind of reason. Then do it. But if not, crawl on your hands and knees and be baitik the house. That's the way Chazal told us to do. That's the first halacha in Masechet Pesachim. Or alive, but also boitkin as a chomet. So let's do it the right way. And ein chanami, if a person doesn't want to be boitik the makoma, shein machnisim by chomet, it's fine. But I want to tell you a little secret, Rabbi Say. What happens when you clean the whole this a particular room, let's say room X, and you clean it with vacuum cleaners and whatever, you think to yourself, what in the world are happy by the comments now for, right? But you weren't by the Kloyer Haner, and Chazal told us that when you buy the Kloyer Haner, you find things which you couldn't find unless you use the Kloyer Haner and crawl down and up and here and there, right? So being by the Kloyer Haner gives the Vedika an additional dimension. And you may discover things that you didn't discover before. So, you got to be boidik the mekayim shemachnisim by chometz loyer haner. Now, erev tavshilin, important halachas. Okay, let's start with the simple things. Everybody knows about an erev tavshilin. Erev tavshilin means that when you got to cook on yontif for Shabbos, which means this coming Pesach, when you got to cook on Friday of Yontif, the second day Yontif, for Shabbos, the first day Chol Hamoed. So you can't do it without an Erev. Right? There's two reasons for it that you're allowed to do cooking if you do have an Erev. What is an Erev? An Erev is where you take a pas, a matzah, and a tavshil, the food that's cooked, preferably, like an egg, or like a piece of fish, or something of that sort, and set it aside and make a bracha, and say, Bahadein, after you make the bracha, Shekhichon, and Soysa, Tzvon, Mitzvah Seiruf, Then you say, Bahadein Eruva Yeheshor Alonu, with this Erev it should be muta for us, right? To be Mavashil and to bake, and to be Madlik Neiris, Ulamedbat, Kol Tzerchonam, Yom Tov L'Shabbat. And once you have that, so you should keep it there till Shabbat, and not eat it. But on Shabbos, you should use it. You should take the matzah and use it as the one of the matzahs for Lecha Mishnah, and eat it up by Shal Shudas, eat up the Tavshil during the Shabbos Sudas, and that's what a person should do when he makes a Neir of Tavshil. What happens if somebody forgot before Yontif? Possible that someone forgot, there's so many different things to do, and didn't make the Erev Tavshilim. Well, this year, we're lucky. You could make the Erev Tavshilim later. What you could do is on Yontif, on Thursday, take a pas for Tavshil, right, the two items, and make it tonight, and say Thursday or Friday is Yontif, not both. And therefore you say, if today is Choyl, then I'm making this Eruv that it should permit me to bake and cook from Friday to Yontif, to Shabbat. Okay? And if today is Yontif and I'm not allowed to, I'm not allowed to cook anyway from Thursday for Shabbat. You only cook from Friday to Shabbat. So if today is Yontif, why, then tomorrow is Choyl, and I'm allowed to cook anyway. So by putting aside this Erev, I'm matter myself on Yontif, on Thursday, I'm matter myself to cook on Friday. Right? Why? Because Mevonavshach. If today is Choyl, I'm making a good Erev. And if today is Yontif, then tomorrow I'm allowed to cook because it's Choyl. And you say this Musach, and according to most Paiskim, you say a bruche, even when you make such a kind of Erev, a conditional Erev. And the reason for that is because the Erev is conditional anyway. Because if you make the Erev on Wednesday, Kil Chosoi, it's also conditional. Because if Friday is Choyl, then I don't need the Erev. And the only time I need the Erev is if Friday is Yontif. So you have actually the same condition whether you make it on Wednesday or Thursday. That's the answer to Rabbi Kiveyu's kasha of how he could make an Erev. Because, sof kol sof, the same conditional Erev is made on Wednesday or on Thursday. Because Thursday, you got to speak it out. Right? You can't say, I'm making an Erev. You have to say, if today is Yontif, then it shouldn't be an Erev. Then it shouldn't be an Erev. Because I don't want to be over and make an Erev on Yontif. I'm not supposed to make an Erev on Yontif. But conditionally, if today is Choyl, then what I'm doing is an Erev. Okay? What if you forgot completely? Well, if you forgot completely, it depends. If you forgot last year, and you forgot this year, or last time you needed an Erev, and I forgot again, why, that means you're a Poshea. That's bad. And then nobody who made an Erev, who was Mizaka the Erev for you, and I'll tell you what that means in a minute, nobody really could help you out. They just have to do emergency measures. You makna to them your food and they'll cook for you one tavshil. No. The reason is because a person who does that is a poshea. So be careful. If you forgot last year, well, last time there was an Erev, so make sure not to forget again. And which brings us to the next question. What if you did forget and it wasn't an oinus, it wasn't a pshia, and you're entitled to use someone else's Erev, but that someone else had to be mezakeh the Erev to the toshovim of the city, right? And therefore at least one person in the Shchuna, the Chalapochus, who has Shaychus to the local city, should take the pass and the tavshil and get someone not who's Soymachal Shulchonoi, but someone outside of the family, preferably, and give them the pas and the tavshil, and tell them, be zoichet for all those people who forgot to make an Erev, or who will forget, who will have forgotten to make an Erev, shaloi v'tshiyosoi. You don't have to add that. You just say, for all those people who will have forgotten to make an Erev. And that person, be zoichet, and then give you back the Erev, and take it in your hand and say, Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kenem L'Cholim, the whole Berocha, and then say, B'Nusach B'Hadein Eruvo, like you find in the Haggadahs or the Siddurim. And what the advantage of a person who's Mezakeh for others is that it helps for those who forgot. I remember once in Shul, someone came running over and he said, I forgot to make an Eruv. And Rav Shor, Zechel Avrocha, Rav Gedal Yeshor, had not been Mezakeh the Erev. You know, I will make sure every time to be Mezakeh the Erev. But we couldn't find one person in the whole shul who was Mezakeh the Erev. And we went across the street, and sure enough, there was a person who was Mezakeh the Erev. There usually is, I'd say, because Kaman Hora, we have a lot of Jewish families who are very de'igi b'mitzvahs and do the b'mitzvahs and they do things right, and there'll be people who'll be mezakeh the Erev. Okay, I'll go through these things. Are some matzah bakeries preferred over others? I'll tell you which matzah bakeries are preferred. Have, Rabbeisai, if you can, for the hand matzah, have matzah where there was a chabura. What does it mean, a chabura? It means a couple of people who are knowledgeable and have come down to the matzah bakery and let the professionals do the work and stay there for 2, 3, 4 hours and take a full load of matzah home. Why? Because, you know, everyone does their work better, more assiduously when there's someone standing over and watching them. It's human nature. And it's not something that I'm theorizing, because I know it from actual experience, and 100 times experience. Probably half the people sitting in this room also know that quite well from personal experience. When you come down there, someone comes. You don't have to be there yourself. Right? That's a schus to be there. But as long as there was a special group of people who stood there during the day when your group brought out all the matzahs, the production could be just as high. Adrab, it'll be even more, because there won't be any shahiyos. Okay? But it'll go one after another without hesitating, and the matzahs will be... Not that the other matzahs are awesome. The other matzahs are very behuder. But it's more mahudah to have more shmir, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, ushmarta mesa matzois. And the more shmir, the more mahudah it is. That's all. So, are some matzah bakeries preferred over others? The matzah bakeries that people use, Baruch Hashem, are very good and very reputable, but all of them become more mahuder when there are special shomrim standing and watching them. If you can't get hold of chabura matzahs, okay, at least try to get a few pounds for the siddurim. So there should be a bigger shmirah, because one of the milas of a matzah that you yoytze is that it should be meshumer l'shem mitzvah, right? That's matzah's mitzvah. And the bigger the shmir is over there, definitely, the Chol HaPochus is a mila when it comes to matzah mitzvah. The machine matzahs, Rabbeisai, coming from the Eretz Yisrael, we have no machine matzahs in America now. There used to be the Wiener machines, but now there are really top-notch matzahs made with machine in Eretz Yisrael. You know, just like there are people who will go around telling you that matzahs made by machine is chometz gomor and they wouldn't let it into the house. You know, there are people who would tell you that matzahs made by hand is something they wouldn't let into their house, except for matzahs mitzvah, because the machine matzah is considered by certain people a milah. Don't look down on somebody who uses machine matzah. I want to tell you, did anybody read that series of beautifully written stories, Yerushalayim, Shalmala, right? All by a fellow whose name was Gerlitz, no? And stories about the heroes of Yerushalayim, the great tzaddikim, Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and this one and that one, Mamish, Bali Moifis, and Bali Ruach HaKodesh, and Bali Midas, and Bali Chesed, and there were Sfardim, and Ashkenazim, and Chassidim, and Polish, and Lutvish, and Hungarians, and all kinds of crap. And marvelous, marvelous stories. They're so different from one another. There's only one thing they all have in common, Rabbi said. They all ate machine matzahs. That happens to be a fact. And so before anyone goes around thinking that eating machine matzahs is a type of failing in Shmiras HaTorah, you should realize that's so. I'm just saying this because there are certain ideas that are circulate, and people think that who knows what, the other person may not be such a Now, matzahs and products from Eretz Yisrael, are they preferable because so many more mitzvahs are performed on them? Trumas and maizes, but that's a novel idea, and it's, halavayot should really be so, because a lot of the wheat that's used in the bakeries in Eretz Yisrael come from Chutz Lorz. So, the roiv, and a big roiv at that. But yes, Rabbi Sari, if you have food which mitzvahs, hatluyas, ba'oris, was performed on them, it's definitely a schuz. Definitely a maila. Why? Because sof kol sof, it's more of a hefter shel mitzvah. That's how a yid looks at anything. If you took trumas and maisris and whatever we do, hafrashas chala, the food we eat is a chefzer shel mitzvah. I love to always repeat that wonderful line that a ger once told me. He was a candidate for Geirus, and we asked him all the questions and told him about all the difficulties in being a Yid and this and that, everything that it says in Halacha. And we finished with talking to him about Olam Haba. Ein Olam Haba Ela Bishvil Yisrael. So he stopped and he says, I'd like to tell you something. I'm not becoming a Geir for Olam Haba. Every religion, Lahavdul, promises you Olam Haba. Right? The Indians will tell you about the happy hunting grounds and the, about this and about that. They all have Olam Haba. But there's only one religion, he told us, that has Olam Hazeh. And that's Yiddishkeit, that's Torah. He says, there's nothing that you do during the day and night that has any meaning to a goy, except for the fact that when he dies, so then his soul will go up to Olam Haba, whatever that means to him. But when a yid does anything, you eat the food, you make a brachit, you do a mitzvah, every moment of your life is ennobled. You do business, you buy and sell, there's hilchas mekach memka. Everything is a holy act. Life is filled with importance and meaning. and that only Yiddishkeit has Olam Hazeh. So it is something. Every chayfetz that we take in our hands, every food, there's a kiyum hamitzvah in it, and it's something to think about. We'll get to this inyan a little bit later, but let's follow the syllabus over here. Hidurim and chumris in a time of economic difficulty. Rabbis, I was asked that question not long ago. It's very hard to figure out what kind of hidurim and chumris. You know, everything you do with hidurim and chumris, you get food, chocolates, and every luxury in the world. It's all with hidurim and chumris. It's made from potato starch or from this or from that. There's no trace of kidneys or of kidneys shenishtan or who knows what. It makes very little difference as far as economics go. The best dates would be not to eat the chocolate altogether. It's better for your pocketbook and better for your stomach or whatever. But what's the difference? It's very hard to figure out what kind of hidurim and chumris to do away with, unless someone came up with one that cost them a lot of money. I don't know. You know, somebody will go to a hotel that charges twice as much because it's all non-gebrocht and wonderful nightlife by the greatest performers and superstars. Maybe someone could figure. I tried to find out which chumris could be done away with that could save you a nickel here and a nickel there, and I haven't come up with anything. But I'll give you some chumris to be machmir on the COVID this year because of economic times. I think that this year there should be a tremendous emphasis on trying to discover which people are in need of help, which people have been giving broadly and voluminously for over the years, and this year they need quietly to receive, time cheshavas packages. There are people who are going through hard times, and I think the emphasis should be made on doing as much chesed as possible, helping others and sharing with others and making life easier for others. And someone, there's many, many different ways to do that without causing a stir. I know someone who went and brought home a few sacks of onions and potatoes and this and that, all kinds of different things, and then sent notices around the neighborhood asking for a toiva from the neighbors to help them out because they said, we overstocked our house for Pesach. And if anybody who wishes, please take some of the onions and potatoes and the oil and this and that, because it'll all get spoiled if we don't get rid of it as fast as we can. And lots of people went and took the stuff, and no one's feelings were hurt in the process. That's just one smart way of doing chesed, and there are lots of others. People just sometimes would like to have cash and some type of help. It's a time for reflection on just finding out which people need help. And it could be done with seichel and with kindness and with a smile without any fanfare. I think that's the hidur and the chumra that should be done, v'dafke, in this time of economic difficulty. And you'd accomplish quite a bit. There's a question here about white grape juice. Can it be further diluted? Who can, should use it at the Seder? I suppose there are people who are allergic to grape juice or something. Why they want light grape juice? Light grape juice is almost certainly diluted with water. And that's what makes it light. You know, light mayonnaise, all it is half water and half mayonnaise. And the same thing with light yogurt, it's half water and half yogurt. That's all. And it's very good on the calories and all that. And you'll find that a lot of these products that are light have some type of thickener, some gelatin, something else added to it. Why? Because with all that water in it, naturally it doesn't gel and it doesn't turn into mayonnaise or yogurt. So that's what makes it light. When it comes to grape juice, Rabbi, you know, water with grape juice may hurt the grape juice. Actually, the pashtus is that wine, you don't have to have there's no bittel. In other words, half water and half wine won't be mavatel the wine. Al pidin, you could have a lot more water, but because the halacha says that you could have six times as much water as wine before the wine becomes batel. The only problem is the Mishnah Berurah says that it still has to be drunk as wine and not as some punch or lemonade, and so it still has to have a tam, a tzuras yayin. And that makes things difficult. We don't know the shear for that. So you could add to regular undiluted wine an equal amount of water, or undiluted grape juice an equal amount of water. I would think that the best thing to do for the Seder would be to use a smaller shear. If a person is allergic or he can't take wine, so take a shear of 3 ounces. Except for the Kiddush, which have a cup of 4 ounces. But Rabbi, you could be yoitza with one person's Kiddush. He could take the, you know, the Chazon Ish, the Noda Yehuda shear, and have a 6 ounce cup. If it's necessary, if there's a person who doesn't feel like drinking the larger shiurim, a can, so get smaller shiurim, and for the kiddush kois, be yoisa with the olivias kois, and also take your own kois, which has 3 ounces, so you'll have both. You'll have the mitzvah of kiddush on the larger kois, and 3 ounces of wine. The person can't take wine, so then use pure grape juice. Sof kol sof, there's very little wine that you need to drink. Why? Because you could have loiv kois, right? Tzorach l'mishte ru b'dekasa. So if you have a 3 ounce cup of wine, so take 1.6 ounces. Understand? If you want to have a larger cup, so then make it whatever it is and drink roiv kois. So you could end up drinking very little for the Seder. Avadatzol chatchilut to drink out the whole kois, and avadatzol chatchilut to have the biggest shear and to treat it with a big chavivus. But that's all for the people who could. And the person can't. So then there are choices. choices for Mora. Rabbi, the Mora should be, as you know, romaine lettuce, or chrein, or, as it was pretty widespread in recent years, you don't see that too much, endives. There are five minim. We don't know what the other two are. Okay? But we know about these three, and there's nothing else. The Baron, Zechel Avrocha, felt that any kind of lettuce is good, even the iceberg lettuce. But that sheet was not Nofutz B'chol Yisroel, and today the only minim that are used are romaine lettuce and or chrein and endives. And you all know about being boidic for bugs, and today we have wonderful packaged moror, romaine lettuce, that has no bugs, that's bug free. It's been boduk and it's sold on the very starke hechsher. I want you to just be careful, because I noticed recently that the eaten romaine lettuce, it says hydroponically grown. I was under the impression that it was grown in hothouses in Mexico, but not hydroponically. Hydroponically means there's no earth at all. It's just water. And stones for the roots to cling to, pebbles, and nutrients that's thrown into the water, but there's no earth. And when something doesn't grow from the earth, so there are those who say that it should be a shahako levidvori, because it's not boir pri hadoma, it has nothing to do with the ground. And if that's the case, it's not poshet at all that it could be used for more. Right? But the bodek, or the halei kativ, which is extremely good, it could be used. You wash it off, because a bug could get into anything. A bug could get into your soup or into your coffee. You got to just watch what you're eating. And when you know, in the old days there was no such thing as prepackaged more. You got to be boidic everything. Okay? If you want to be boidic leaves, I mention this all the time, and just briefly, the way to do it is to have a light on the other side of the leaf, not a light over your shoulder shining on the leaf on the side that you're looking at, but a light shining on the other side of the leaf. You could do it with a ceiling light, with a desk lamp, with a light box, which was, you know, designed for artists. And the light is shining through the leaf from the other side, because the leaf is translucent, the light shines through, and the bug is opaque. The light doesn't shine through the bug, so the bug will appear as a dark spot on the leaf if you want to be boidic. And, you know, if you have a few people who can eat the more, and not 25, 30 people, so the work doesn't take that long at all. But on the other hand, we have all this stuff which has good hashkoches. But I would keep away from the hydroponic stuff, if it's true. I was told completely that the hothouses in Mexico, but it says on it hydroponic, so I'm sure that they're telling the truth. People don't advertise things which are not favorable to their business. So use it for salads and for all kinds of other things, but not for the mitzvah of Mora. And if there's anything else hydroponic, don't use it for karpas. The those who have Chayin. I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything new. Everybody knows what to do about these things, about grinding and keeping it bottled up tightly so that the shatna shouldn't go away and everything. I'm not going to add anything to things which you've known since, from Kindvaizuf. 3 day yontif and Shabbos, washing, removing the trash and other issues. Washing dishes, Shabbosai, you could wash dishes from Thursday for Thursday alone. Not one single dish to wash for Friday. You could wash dishes on Friday for Friday and for Shabbos, right? That's the advantage of the Erev Tavshila. Okay? You could soak them in warm water and dish soap. On Thursday you could use warm water. But on Shabbos you could wash dishes, of course, only in cold water and not a drop of warm water, but you could soak them in warm water that's been prepared beforehand. And it's the little tiny drop of soap that takes off all the fat. The cold or warm water makes much less difference than a mashu of soap added to the water. Could you wash your hands? Of course. Could you take a shower? No. And I want to tell you one thing, Rabbi said. 3 days of Yontif. Let's say it would be Shabbos, followed by Sunday and Monday, which could happen in Shavuot. So, and it's really hot when it comes to Shavuot. It's, after all, in June. And people will tell you, well, I heard a psak halacha that today it's different and you're allowed to take a shower. Keep away from those kind of things. I'll be very brief about it. According to Tosfos, cooking hot water, and that's how we paskin, cooking hot water, in other words, turning on a shower which cooks hot water, because it means that for every fraction of a drop of hot water that comes out of the hot water faucet, a drop of cold water goes straight in and gets cooked on the spot. And what you're doing is chamin shehuchmu v'yontif, and chamin shehuchmu v'yontif can't be used for yechitzus kol haguf. Okay? And washing, taking a shower is yechitzus kol haguf. So, and Tosfos says it's a deraisa, and other Yishayim say it's a derabbanan, but it is an issur. So someone will tell you, oh, that was only in those days. In those days it was different. The world was different. Because people people didn't take showers every day. And therefore it wasn't Dover HaShov L'chol Nefesh. But today it's Dover HaShov L'chol Nefesh, therefore cooking water for Yechitzus Kol HaGuf is mutter. Okay. Rabbosai, halacha doesn't work that way. That someone comes and he says, I decided Lefi Ayin Dalet, the word that's found in Rosh HaTevis, I don't know what it stands for, Aniyas Daiti or Ashiras Daiti. That when somebody says, according to my opinion, and I paskin like this, halacha l'maisa, go ahead and change the halacha, take what was formerly the Nisa Deraisa, and be matrit halacha l'maisa, because I say that Lefi Ayin Dalet, it's mistaber that you're allowed to make your chitzus kol haguf, because people need it much more than they used to do in the old days. First of all, if you want to paskin such a shaila, you write a tshuva, you publish it, let all the rabbonim in the world come and argue or agree with it, but you don't turn over a Nisa D'oraisa and say that today the circumstances are different based on my intuitive svara, which popped into my head from the superficial thought. When you start thinking about it, you start learning the Gemara and you think differently. The Gemara says that they assert Chamei Tveria on Shabbos. There was a Gzeira to assert Chamei Tveria on Shabbos, then they repealed the Gzeira. It's one of the only times that Chazal ever repealed the Gzeira. Why? Because it was a gzeir she'ein roi v'atzibu yuchol lamoid bo, because they had to bathe themselves on Shabbos. There's no one in the world today who will say, I have to bathe myself on Shabbos. Even in Tveria. Because they needed it 100 times more in those days than in these days. We wear light clothing made of lighter materials. We have air conditioning. What kind of tsar is there that forces us to go ahead and repeal the gzeirah? Chazal did that one time. They repealed the gzeirah of Chametz Tveria, and they allowed the people to to bathe in Chametz Tveria, but not in Chametz Shehuchmu B'Yontif. They still held its Dover She'ena Sholol Chol Nefesh. Someone wants a paskin, let him write, let him argue, let him present his view, and have others disagree with him. And when someone is courageous enough to publish a tshuva, I'll publish one that'll disagree with him. Removing trash and other issues. Yes, you could remove the trash, but don't take it out into the street. Because taking it out into the street is hoitzoah. And the hoitzoah that is only mutur l'tzorech. There has to be some kind of tzorech. A tzorech yontif, not oichel nevesh, but some kind of tzorech. The only tzorech for removing trash into the street where a person has any place where he could keep it, the only tzorech there is just a feeling for neatness. Because people like to be mesudir, like to have the garbage collected. And that's it. But once it's out of the kitchen or out of the in the hallway, so there's no need for taking it out into the street. It doesn't help you. It doesn't accomplish anything. It just makes you mesudir and neat and feel good and feel right. And that's not called a tzorech. And hoitzoah is an av malacha. It's the most chomer dika malacha of all the lamates malachas. And I'm not going to go into that right now. And there is no heterim for it, Rabbi say, as much as the people who love to convince the tzibur that there's an erev or something like that, don't fall for it. It's a trap, and it's not worth a nickel according to any poisik, any rishon, any achron, any svor. There's nothing behind it. The whole thing is just simply a fabrication from beginning to end. Simchas Yontif. How does one fulfill it every day? On Yontif, Rabbi Sai. Number one, how do you fulfill Simchas Yontif? First of all, be happy. Be the role model. Don't tell everyone else to be happy. Be happy. And to be happy doesn't mean to make it appear as if you're happy. And underneath the veneer of some twisted smile, grown with dissatisfaction, drive away the thoughts that make you unhappy. There's a lot of thoughts that are not totally in the economic difficulties. What about the hakpodis and the anger and the jealousy to other people? Feel happy. Think about the toivus that HaKadosh Baruch. Think about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Think about Matan Torah. Think about the moon. Think about the sun, the way it shines in the sky. And is a zecha for Maaseh Bereishis. Think about all the wonderful things. And think about how wonderful the little kiddalach who breaks so many things up. And don't be upset at anybody. Not at your wife, not at your children. And beam with happiness. That's how you make the house happy. That's number one. Everything else, our boys say, is simple. It just follows. When a person has to really be happy and search through your daily experience for all the myriad millions of toivas that you live with. Just appreciate the toivah, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us. And be a happy person. I'll tell you the truth. It's not just advice for Yontif. Well, Yontif, you mekayim a mitzvah seser if you're happy. And if you mekayim another mitzvah seser, if you make your wife happy. That's what it says. Noshem baylum mesamchon. V'samachta ato ve'secho. Imagine that, just for being happy. Every single time you're happy, you mekayim a mitzvah deraisa. It's so much easier than buying an esrik and spending hours on picking out the right one and spending lots of money. Every moment is a mitzvah. It doesn't say on Pesach, we learned it out from Hekesh, you know. It says twice on Sukkot and once on Shavuot, and we learned it out the Hekesh Pesach, there's a mitzvah there, I said too. And, you know, first thing is, don't get angry at anyone. I tell you, make the whole house happy, because what makes people unhappy is just the terror of when that moment of, you know, the explosion is what's going to happen. But if no one could ever be choishish that there will be a cross word coming out of your mouth, there will be a tremendous relief. Wherever that possibility exists, I'm not saying it's all over, but in certain households, there's always that fear that the moment of anger may happen unexpectedly. But make sure that there's a confidence that there's nothing but happiness in the household, and you'll be mekayim a merdik mitzvah with it. And I like this wording over here. For himself, his wife, his children. Yes, there has to be a realization by every man in the house that he's the head of the household and that he's responsible for generating the happiness in the household. For smiling to his wife and smiling to his children and telling them constantly how much he loves them and just showing his appreciation and saying how wonderful it is that they are there in his life, and he has to do it. Don't expect it to happen to you. The head has to create the mood and let everybody else enjoy the mood that you create. That's the mitzvah. V'samachta ato uveisecho. It begins with the ato and then it follows over and it flows over to the beisecho. And it requires work and it requires thought. It requires figuring out new phrases and new ages and new comments, just how you could be mechadish something that could make everybody in the household happy, and that's that's the chiyuv and the mitzvah and the secret of a wonderful life. It says over here minhogim, a new topic was handed to me, and we'll take the last one and shine. Fish, garlic, kidneys, spices. I always say, keep your old minhagim, but don't let the minhagim scare you. Okay? Every minig is based on some history. There was a time when the garlic was there was a chash chometz, whatever it was, and there was a time when there was a chash chometz in the fish, and whatever it is, spices, Rabbeisai, have cornstarch added to them as a free flow agent, you know, so that they shouldn't get stuck and clump together. We know about all that. Get stuff with the hechsher, that's kosher l'pesach. If you have one or two minhagim, by uns tut me nicht azoi, me es nicht das, me es nicht jens. There's a reason, a very legitimate reason for perpetuating ancient minhagim, which no longer have any reason to apply or to exist. And there's a reason for it. The reason is because in our generation, I mentioned this earlier and I say it all the time, in our generation, we are rebuilding the old world that was destroyed. We're rebuilding that world. We're recreating the world that was lost. And when we preserve something that they did, and we carry over something that existed in Europe for all kinds of very, very legitimate reasons, and we don't have the reason, but just by doing Vus mit Keton in the Heim, that is something which has a wonderful ring to it. It's a preservation and a recreation of Klal Yisrael, creating a continuity. Not that every little thing is a chiyuv. And if you decide to collect all the minhogim, it's like collecting all the yortzeis during the year in those shuls where they never say tachna. You know. One or two or three is fine and dandy. But, you know, you shouldn't carry them around as a burden and as a weight. By us we do this and by us that, by us. You know, I love to tell over very briefly an incident that happened. I was on the way to the yeshiva, and it happened to be Holocaust Remembrance Day. This was in Williamsburg yet. And we're here 41 or 2 or 3 years or something like that. Maybe not, maybe just 40. Mm-hmm. Well, that's more, a couple of years more than that. Anyhow, whatever it is. So, I was on the way to the yeshiva, and there was some guy comes over to me and he says, "You have school today on Holocaust Remembrance Day. Why don't you remember the Jews who perished in the Holocaust?" So I said, "We remember them all the time, but not just today." So he started, you know, with these lectures that people sometimes attack you with. They have some burden that they're carrying or some chip on the shoulder. So I told him, "You want an explanation from me? I'll explain it to you. But don't say I didn't warn you. You won't like my explanation. But if you want, I'll tell you an explanation. And you'll be satisfied. You wouldn't have another word to say after that. Are you ready for it? Because I don't need to tell it to you. We could part friends." He says, no, start with the speech again. So I said, okay, just sit back and listen. I told him, "Listen, Reb Yid, when it comes to the people who celebrate Holocaust Remembrance Day, the whole year they're terribly ashamed of the cowards who went as sheep to the slaughter. They try to get rid of every one of the ancient and primitive European habits that embarrass them, like pictures from Roman Vishniak with these outlandish looking, you know, children and adults walking all over some primitive European scene. They try to get away from that as much as humanly possible. Whatever they did, you'll never do in your life. The Torah that they learned, you wouldn't learn. The Chassidus or the Rebbes, nobody will have anything to do with. They're ashamed of the previous generation and distance themselves from it as much as possible. One day a year, you go to that storage box and pull the old generation out of the mothballs, dust it off, shake it off, make a few speeches, maybe even say a couple little tillim, and then rush back and hide it for the next year so that you shouldn't be associated with it." I said, "Our attitude is much different. We pride ourselves with every single one of the Yidden who died al Kiddush Hashem, and we consider him a hero. And we ache and pain ourselves to familiarize ourselves with the stories of suffering, and we look up at whatever they did with such years HaKovet. We learn to sing the same Negunim We learn to say the same Torah. We call ourselves by that very same name. The Slabotki Yeshiva and the Mir Yeshiva and the Vision Mitzvah and the Satmar. We try to dress like they dressed. Try to pronounce our Yiddish in our Lashon Kodesh the way they pronounced it. Many of us try to wear the same clothing. And we try to do everything in the world to preserve and honor what they were 365 days a year. What in the world could he possibly add to on a Holocaust Remembrance Day? We're proud of them, and we try to do anything that we can to show how we identify with them. And if we find out some custom that they did, we rush to do it, because to us they're the most dear and precious treasure that we have, those wonderful Yidden. We go to Europe and search for the graves of our ancestors and go to the graves of tzaddikim. We want nothing more of Europe, but we carry over everything into our homes and into our lives. We say over the Torah and the yeshivas, we're constantly saying a svara that this great Rosh Yeshiva said and this Lampen said. And if we find a piece of Torah, we treasure it and we print it and we honor it. What could we possibly want from some kind of Holocaust Remembrance Day? And as I had predicted, he had said, thank you, I understand. Walked away. Thoughts for a meaningful Seder and a successful Pesach. A meaningful Seder, I'm not going to be marach on it. Because if I do, you know what happened to people who are marach in the Seder, Achabu, Talmidehem, the Omer, Rabbi Seinu, yes, one Krishna, Shal Shachar. So I'm going to be Mekatzer. Just very, very brief and short, Rabbi Seinu. How many times have you heard a discussion of what are the answers to the fear kashas? The children ask fear kashas. Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat morer? Why do we have shnei tibulim? And to make up for the main kasha, which we're not zoicha to ask, is why we have basar tzli instead of cooked food like we have all year, and that's the korban pesach. So we substitute another kasha of halayla zekulona mesubim. The teretz to those kashas is after a preliminary discussion all about the avdus and the cheirus and the makas and the nisim and the flois, we come out with the teretz, and the teretz is matzah zushonu oichon al shemo, morah zushonu oichon al shemo, Pesach Shoyu, Havisainu Echon Al Shemot. And as far as the Tibulin, we say, Leficha, Chanachna, Chayovim, Lohidas, Olahalil, and to act like B'nai Chayrin, Bechol Dor, Vador, Chayav, Odom, Liris, Asatzma, Kilo, Yotzmi, Mitzrayim. And that's why we do the things of Chayris, like the Seber, like the Hatbolois. And those are the truths. And remember that. And that's why, when we end, we say the Lashon HaMishneh, Rav Gamliel Oymer Kol Shel Yomer, Shlosh Advarim Halolu, the Pesach L'Yotze, Yedei Chivosev, Elohein Pesach Matzav Mora, right? And you know what it means? I said it over 1,000 times, and I'll repeat it Bezras Hashem. Kol Shel Yomer, Shlosh Advarim Halolu. If you just say, Avodim Hoyinu, and Kenegad Arbo Bonim, and even the drashas on Rami Yovidovi, which is the central piece of the Agodah, but you didn't say Pesach Matzah Morah, then you didn't do anything, because you're just giving preliminary material for answering the kashas. But the Vehigala Tolavincha Bayoimahu has to be to explain Bavuzet, Bavuzet Loyamarti El Meshoshesh Pesach, the original Nusach Matzah Morah Manochum Fanechum. And you have to say, now I'll give you a teretz to the fear kashas. And that's why it's loyotzei dei chayvosei, because you didn't say the punchline. You just said the hakdomen, but not the answer. Pesach Matzah Mor is the answer. And there's nothing magical about saying out loud, calling everybody from the kitchen and all the babies and everybody coming quick, because we have to say the three words, if not, lo yotze yedei chayvosoi, everybody together, Pesach Matzah Mor. Now, scamper. That's not it. Layom, layotze dechevose is not saying those words. That's meaningless. Layotze dechevose is you have to give the answer to the kashas. That's what the Haggadah consists of. And make it in such a way that whoever's sitting by the table, whoever's with you by the Haggadah, should sense that electricity in the air. So that he should feel in his bones, l'fichach anachna chayom l'hoidus l'halel. Lira says, Atzmoy ki'ilu yotzo, and like the Rambam adds, ki'ilu ato yotzo mishibud Mitzrayim, make that mood and that sense of reality, as if you're sitting there at the original Seder table, the kocha toichlu oisoi, masnechem chagurim, na'lechem b'raglechem, makelchem b'yetchem, v'chaltam oisoi, v'chitozim, with that sense of excitement. You have to put the excitement into the air. The Pesach is not a recital where you say something. You might as well say Korbonus or the Teuchecha. Saying words is not what Pesach Seder is all about. Communicating, creating a mood, giving a message, building up the anticipation, explaining what previously wasn't explained. Have the happiness and the excitement and the thankfulness to the Rebbeinu Shlalom. V'hoidos v'halil. V'misha osa lonav l'avoseinu eskol ha'nisim ho'eilet. Hoitzionim e'yavdus l'chayris, and say it with such simcha, v'noyma l'fonav shirach chadosha, that it should be as if you're saying it for the first time in your life, passing through Yamsuf, dancing and singing homon choygeg, with an excitement that fills the air. That's what the meaningful Seder is all about. And then it'll be a successful Pesach. And believe me, the hergish of triumph, of simcha, of excitement, if you create it, you'll know what Pesach is all about. And Rabbi Shalom should be mekayim with us this year, Aboisai, something additional to all the psochem that we experience till now. And that will be the presence of that missing kasha of the fear kashas. Pesach zushanu oichlen kol haleilois on oichlen tzli sholokum avu shol halayla zeh kuloi tzli. That's when the answer, it won't be Pesach shoyu avaseinu oichlen, but it will be Pesach Rabbi Shalom should give us the schus that this very year, and there's still quite a long time left where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring the Geula, after all the original Pesach Seder was done with less preparation, should be a Shnas Geula v'Yeshua v'Nechel Shom v'Nachsochim v'Nachvochim. Hey, review manual.